from NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the Carriage House of the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts for Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. A man whose mind has really made me curious about a Tennessee upbringing, Mr. Barry Nolan. Raised on the Rideau and ready for fun, Francine Akbar. And the only New Hampshireite alive who thinks that shushing is keeping people quiet, Mr. Tony Khan. Led by?
Francine is going to lead us.
Yes, I am.
To my left, team two. A man who's sold out theaters nationwide. He moonlights at Movie Phone, Arnie Reisman. I was afraid of that one. A columnist, a critic, a cult figure in Abilene, Carolyn Faye Fox. And from WBZ-TV, a woman who can spot a bargain a mile away. Any closer, it's a little blurry. Paula Lyons. Captain by?
Mr. Reisman.
I'll be captain.
Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of uniquities. Each of the following is unique. Why? Carolyn, the word strength. S-T-R-E-N-G-T-H.
I think it probably has something to do with the number of consonants.
It has everything to do with it.
And just one little vowel?
Right. It's like eight-letter words with one vowel.
It is, in fact, the longest word containing only one vowel. Very good. Right. 10 points.
In English. Mm.
Yeah.
In English.
That's true.
In Finnish, all bets are off. Right.
Tony, what is unique about the geographic positioning of Alaska?
The geographic positioning of Alaska?
Yes.
It's dead center for Alaskans. There's no question about that.
I got it. He's got it there.
He's fishing.
That's a lot
searching.
Of points right there.
It is in this exact same position on the other side of, I don't know. I haven't the Vegas.
Does anyone
farthest north and farthest west?
And keep going.
Farthest and east farthest south.
No, 10 points, because a little too much help from that, but you were almost there. It is the northernmost, of course, but it is also the easternmost and westernmost state in the United States. Very good. It does cross the international date line and have that distinction.
Oh.
Arnie, what's unique about the Book of Esther?
The Book of Esther.
Only one with a woman's name?
That's not a bad idea.
Could that be it?
Would that be it? Is it the only one with a woman's name?
Yeah, you have Ruth, of course.
Oh, okay, right.
The only one with a woman's two-syllable name. It's available in paperback.
A musical.
Is it the shortest?
She's the only one where she makes something happen. I mean, she's the hero.
Well...
Shortest?
Not really.
Can we vote on that? Is it shortest?
Any help from the audience?
No, we're not.
Doesn't mention God.
It is the only book of the Bible in which God is never mentioned. That is correct.
Oh.
But we'll give you some style points over there. Okay, we'll give you five style points over there. Very good.
I did an off-Broadway play based on the Book of Esther starring Diane Wiest.
You're not serious.
That's what a lot of people said to the playwright and director.
Who were you?
I was the production stage manager.
So not a triumph for either you or Miss Weasley.
No, indeed.
Okay. Francine, what was unique about Fred and Wilma Flintstone's bedroom?
Well, I'm thinking that the marital bed was a rocky one.
Which would make it unique how?
Yeah.
Well, you're in the right arena.
Boudoir.
Yeah. you're going the right way here.
So does anyone remember?
Oh, it was one of the only beds on television that is a double bed.
A double bed.
That is exactly right. And since you got a little help, we'll give you 7 points for that. It was a double bed, the first double bed on network television.
Stones and Foster.
And it had to be animated.
Stones and Foster.
Paula, you're never going to get this, but I love this question. Oh,
thank you.
And there is a way to figure this out.
Yeah.
Always is.
What is unique about seats 11A and 11F in a Boeing 737?
11A and F, I think they might be emergency exit rows.
They are not.
They are
not. 11A and 11F. 737?
11A and 11F in a Boeing 737. Okay.
There are no 11A or 11F. In.
Oh, that's the way I'd have gone, but that's not right.
That's not right.
11A and 11F.
I found this out because I had seat 11F.
They're both supposed to be aisle seats for A and F.
No.
I mean, not aisle. I mean, window.
Window.
Seat.
Where the wheel is.
You're on the jet.
No, you're about.
You're the
there's
jet
a way
engine.
To figure this out.
You're 7 points there because
is
you're
it the
jet
first?
Engine?
Are those the first no, seats no. in coach?
You can't open your window. I mean, you can't open.
It doesn't
your
have
window.
A window. There's no.
You don't
window,
have a window.
You don't have a window. Is
you
exactly
don't have
right.
A window.
Seats 11A and 11F on a Boeing 737 are window seats and sold as such. And when you get there, there's no window.
You have to bring your own. You're supposed to bring your own window. It says right on the bottom of the.
Give them 7 points for that. Learned that I learned that from here to San Diego.
Ooh. Yeah. Not good.
My sentiments exactly. And Barry, what is unique about the 1948 Biffle poll? BIFFLEPOLL. What's unique about the 1948 Biffle poll?
It was so much taller than the 1947.
I would assume so.
Oh, that was the one where they were wrong.
Of course.
Well,
was that
they
the one
said
that said
Dewey would win?
That said not Truman won, but is that the one that said
Dewey?
Dewey wins.
It does have to do with the Truey Duman.
The Truey Duman.
Wait a minute. I think it works better as Truey Duman. I really do.
It was. It was it the only one that got the outcome right?
Yes, it was. In fact. Ah. 10 points, the only one that got it right. The Biffle poll, Secretary of the Senate Lester Biffle, conducted the only poll predicting the win for Harry Truman in 1948. He disguised himself as a chicken peddler and asked around. And we're told it's the only one that Truman believed.
Ten points?
Wait, you said it was the poll that got things wrong, and you said no, and then he says the poll that got things right, and you gave him 10 points.
Yeah, that's kind of lame,
yeah.
You know?
It's a tyranny in which we live, isn't it? Yeah. Let's go on to round two.
We'll remember that.
I'll try to make it up to you.
Okay.
It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will get blank cards. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot. Good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine if she can sniff out the truth, or to you, Arnie, if you can fool her. A few seconds musically enhanced to come up with a definition for the word sclaff. S-C-L-A-F-F. Sclaff. Folks?
Have you logged on to the Says You website yet? It has lots of interesting features. You can play along, offer your own contributions, or visit the Says You Hall of Fame. And while logged on, take a look at the errant ramblings, the daily dispatches, and the other listener contributions that keep our show interactive. All of this and more at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word.
Dactyls. Thank you, folks, for giving us a few moments with the word sclaff. We'll go first to Carolyn.
Well, sclaff. To sclaff is to laugh so hard you start to cough and choke and gack. No, it's not.
That's not it?
Okay, well, you can use that one if you like. You can feel free to choose that. It's also a sports term. It means, you know, to miss your shot, like in the shot put, without fouling. You sclaff it. It's not an official foul, but you screw up anyway. But without
a
officially
sports
fouling.
Gaff.
Yeah, sports gaff.
A sports gaff. Arnie, sclaff.
Well, actually, it is a sports gaff.
Oh, it is. Well, okay, fine. Let's go.
Okay, let's all go. Actually, it's in table tennis, though, and it's when a player lets go of his paddle as he hits the ball. He is said to sclaff, and in official rules of the sport, the point needs to be replayed.
A flying paddle. What if you do it in anger? Is it still a sclaff?
Same thing. If that paddle leaves your hand,
it's a sclaff.
It's a sclaff.
Paula?
Well, actually.
You're both right.
It is a sports term.
Okay, fine. Everybody, let's back up.
But you really know, to get the origin of this word, you have to take into account the origin of this game. This is that silly practice in golf that even when I played as a beginner, it's the first thing you learn to do because you're always imitating this foolish move. And all it means is that when you come up to the tee, and instead of, they never hit it first. They're always like tapping right behind the ball a couple of times. And that is actually the sclaff.
Tapping behind the ball.
Yeah.
Throwing paddles everywhere.
Are we still on the air? Oh.
And a generalized sports gaff.
Yeah.
That's the choice. What do you think, folks?
I spent a long and wonderful time writing a screenplay with Arnie Riesman called The Money Player about a professional ping pong player, and never once did we come across the term sclaff. Mm. Arnie sclaffed frequently, but it had nothing.
And there's a lot of golf on television. I don't think I've ever heard that word.
No.
My mother is quite an avid golfer. I've never heard her say.
Yes.
So we think golf is not it.
I think it's Caroline.
Yeah.
I think
frankly, her definition covers all the others because she also said sports gaff, and all the others were kind of like sports behaviors. So it seems to me we picked hers. We got 5 points easy.
I think.
Even if we're wrong.
Carolyn's version, definition, whatever it was.
Carolyn?
Yes?
Whatever your definition was, some sort of generalized sports gaff, they think you were telling the truth,
well,
were you?
My card says sclaff. Please fake a definition.
10 points, as well you did. Very good. That was a bluff.
You know, and my friendship with Tony goes back so long that I forgot we wrote the screenplay together.
So
it's golf, guys.
It's golf.
It's a golf
term? In golf to strike the ground behind the ball before hitting it.
You know, being a golfer, I don't think that's what that means, though. I think what it means is chunking the ground behind the ball so that the ball just dribbles forward a couple inches.
Why don't you write it correctly on the card?
It was exactly as it came from the dictionary.
Stop reading the tennis dictionary.
Yeah, that's I gotta. All right, but I just wanted to clear that up.
Okay.
All right.
We're cleared.
Let's go on to round three. A visit with old friend Ron Blau in our audience tonight, ready to receive the bouquets for the category he calls What's the Dickens? That's where he sits right there.
What's the Dickens?
Please corrupt the titles of Dickens books by changing just one letter to come up with titles for the following. An example, advice to an aspiring yellow journalist, perhaps, would be pick sick papers.
Ooh.
For Pickwick Papers.
Okay, Ron, I'd step outside if I were.
Carolyn, try this one. Dickens' bad bounce at a holiday billiards tournament.
Dickens' bad mouth.
Bad bounce.
At a holiday billiards tournament.
At a holiday billiards.
The audience is
tournament.
Onto this one, I think. that looks like a blank slate over there. Any
How about David Hopperfield?
No, nothing like that. This seems to be a stumper. Does the audience know?
A Christmas Carom,
yes.
Oh,
Carom. A Christmas C-A-R-O-M instead of C-A-R-O-L, a Christmas Carol. Very good. Tony, a hefty tome about speculating in hulled oat futures.
Hulled?
H-U-L-L-E-D.
Hulled oat futures. Hulled oat looks like a puck. Great expectations. Clearly not.
You got the right title.
Oh,
Grain expectations.
There you go.
Almost.
Yeah.
We've got it. Growth expectations.
Growth expectations. Yes.
Growth.
A hard-earned 10 points.
Very tired.
Growth expectations.
Growth expectations.
Growth expectations.
Arnie, a potboiler about a retirement home for goats and sheep.
Bleat House.
Bleat House is exactly right. Francine, add one letter to a title to give me a Dickens book about martini mixology.
Oh, it's not Little Dorito, is it?
Oh, yes. Add one.
You know something?
Martini?
You know something? Give him 10 points. I don't care how bad an answer that was. I am amused. Very good, but can you help me out here? Add one letter to get a Dickens book about martini mixology.
Oliver's twist. Oh.
Add the O to get olive or twist. Paula, the real story of the Doublemint twins. Is this the way you wrote this one?
A tale of two sisters. No, a tale of...
Two cuties.
A tale of two cuties. Very good.
Oh, great.
Very good, Arnie.
These are great.
A tale of two cuties.
These are terrific.
And Barry, did you know that Charles wrote about an international house of pancakes decorated with well-worn tchotchke?
Mogan David Copperfield.
You know, I was going to cut it out, but I got a surprisingly big laugh, so I'll leave it in.
International House of Pancakes. Say that one more time.
Okay. International House of Pancakes decorated with well-worn tchotchke.
Blint's House.
The Blint's IHOP. All right. We're right there. Okay, so Old Curiosity Shop, the bold... Old Curiosity Shop is the the one we need to change a letter in. So,
well, the audience, it's spreading through the audience like wildfire.
The old curio. The
You're 8 points there. Any help from the other side?
Old curio.
Any help from the audience?
The old curiosity IHOP.
The old curiosity IHOP, yes. Instead of the old curiosity shop.
Forgot the pancake part.
Well, Ron, how does it feel to be booed coast to coast? What do you think?
Thanks, our mutual
Thank you theme. Very much, Ron.
Yeah.
Came here to take his medicine. Round four is Francine's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff.
Yeah.
10 points, Arnie, if you can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word bombus.
B-O-M-B-U-S.
La bombus.
Bombus. Folks?
Think you can stump our panel? Just log on to the Says You website and contribute a question. Visit us at www.saysyou.org. For those contributing, we offer a lifetime of personal satisfaction. And a pup, a pitifully underpriced prize package. Act now.
How'd that go? I just want to say our scorekeepers, Hannah Fox and Lainey Nolan, are scribbling like mad, and trying to come up with a definition for the word bombus. Tony, how did you do?
Well, in male pattern baldness, it's the part of the head that's revealed first as your hairline migrates down to your ears and your shoulders. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
On your way to becoming a pill garlic.
Yeah. That's right.
It's the
exactly
bombus.
Right.
The bombus is the first thing that breaks through, sort of like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, the old bombus.
The balding. Right.
It's more
bombus
sun than it used to.
Right.
Francine.
Well, I am reminded of a word that we had about 83 shows ago. That was, the meaning was a dessert. But it's not that. It is a medical term referring to a kind of a humming in the intestines or the ears.
That's which one bad one? Doctor.
Which one? Yeah.
And if you're asking why the intestines would hum, it's because they don't know the words.
A humming in the intestines and ears.
Or ears.
Okay. Barry?
Bombus is the swelling of a lymph node caused by the plague or similar diseases. No. To use it correctly in a sentence, that joke was so sick it really laid a bombus.
Okay. Those are some mixed metaphors you got there. Yeah.
A swollen gland, a humming in the intestines or ears, and a receding hairline.
You know, one of those things where, you know, Tony's first sounds absurd, and by the time you hear the other two, it sounds absolutely perfect. Yeah. Right on the bombus, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's Tony's.
It might as well be.
Know, right on the old bombus.
Might as well be or might
I
as well
think
be?
It is. What did you say? No. I think it's Tony's. I'm buying that.
I don't buy this. It's humming in, you know, either your attic or your cellar.
I think
Barry's going toward bubo for bubonic plague. And so I'll go with Tony. I'll go with Tony on this. I think maybe there is a name for this first part of your hair that decides to leave the planet.
Tony, they think it's the receding hairline.
The bombus is not the top of your head.
Wow.
The bombus
really?
Is not the top of your head.
Let's be Francine's. No. Yep.
How many in the audience thought that was the right answer? Well, you fooled absolutely no one in the audience over there.
Just me.
Who had the right answer?
They all knew it was a humming or buzzing in the intestines, ears, etc.
Really? It's very good. That is directly out of the dictionary, a humming in the intestines or ears.
Or ears.
Why they chose those two extremities is...
You gotta be kidding me.
Wow.
Round five is a round of constituent parts, which comes to us thanks to Naomi Penner of Manhasset, New York, who hears us on WNYC. From the following lists of five constituent parts, read one at a time, please identify the whole. The faster you do so, the more points you'll amass.
Such as?
Well, an example from our past, flues, F-L-E-W-S.
Chimneys.
No.
To flues ad hoc, H-O-C-K.
This is a horse.
Almost. To flues hoc ad dewlap, D-E-W-L-A-P.
It was a dog.
It's a dog.
It's
exactly.
A dog.
And tail.
Wow.
Right.
Carolyn, what is the flues?
What is the flues? Anyone know what the flues are?
To kick a dog in the flues would be...
I just... fatal. To either you or the dog. One or the other. Carolyn,
yes.
Try this one. Reed, R-E-E-D.
A musical instrument.
No. To read, add ratchet, R-A-T-C-H-E-T.
No, a tool.
Well, we're getting there. To read and
a
ratchet,
large tool.
Add lamb, L-A-M.
Creating a pulley? What are you doing?
Almost.
Don't know.
To read, ratchet, and lamb, add heddles.
Heddles?
H-E-D-D-L-E-S.
Oh.
Heddles? Eddles? Put your eddles to the metals?
No. To read, ratchet, lamb, heddles, add treadle.
Oh, like a loom? A loom?
A loom is exactly right. Very good.
Goodness sake.
Tough one for 10
That's
points.
That's a treadle.
Talk about something nobody has used in...
You haven't
nobody
heard the
has a loom of one's own anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So just weave me alone.
Tony, try this one. Skirt, S-K-I-R-T, skirt.
Oh, that's a great one to give Tony.
My junior prom?
Yeah, that's part of a junior prom, yes. To skirt, add apron, A-P-R-O-N.
Stage.
No.
Beef.
Skirt, yes.
Beef?
Yeah,
beef?
That's right.
Beef.
To skirt and apron, add sash, S-A-S-H.
Oh, a window?
A window. Very good for 6 points. Skirt, apron, sash, jam, J-A-M-B,
okay,
and
yes,
sill
yes,
were
yes,
parts
yes,
of a window. Arnie, punch, P-U-N-C-H.
Judy.
Yes, that's right.
Hawaiian.
To punch, add file, F-I-L-E.
IBM
cards.
Office
cards.
Tools.
No. To punch and file, add blade, B-L-A-D-E.
A violent office.
Violent. Punch, file, blade.
Punch, file, and blade. To punch, file, and blade, add corkscrew.
Oh.
Ooh, Swiss Army knife.
Swiss Army knife.
Right.
Very good.
Right, yes.
4 points. To punch, file, blade, corkscrew, and scissors. Scissors. Swiss Army knife.
Oh, my gosh.
Francine Cantle. Right. C-A-N-T-L-E.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Lope.
To cantle. Yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Add French. F-R-A-N-C-H.
F-R-A-N-C-H?
Yes.
It's a law firm.
Yes, cantle in French, yes.
It's a law firm? Right.
To cantle in French, add tread. T-R-E-A-D.
Part of a... Tread. What is stairs? The whole cantle
is
family.
Is this stairway?
Not a stairway. That's to cantle French and tread, add pommel. P-O-M-M.
Oh, a saddle.
A saddle is exactly right. A cantle, French, tread, pommel, and cinch is a saddle. Paula Corbel, C-O-R-B-E-L.
C-O-R, as opposed to the champagne.
Corbel.
Yes, Corbel. To Corbel, add portcullis. P-O-R-T-C-U-L-L-I-S.
Oh, it's like a porch. That's an architectural
thing. It's more of a house?
Yeah. These are architectural details?
Yes, they are.
So this would
Corbel and portcullis add keep. K-E-E-P.
Church. The church. Top castle? Yeah.
Castle. Well, right. with unrelenting help from the audience, yes. Castle. Yeah.
Castle keep.
For 6 points. The keep. Ether and finally, Barry, firm. F-I-R-M.
John Gresham.
Oh, part of a fruitcake.
Yeah, so far so good.
Fruit.
To
bucket.
Firm,
okay.
To firm, add tongue, T-O-N-G-U-E.
Shoe?
No. To firm and tongue, add cirque, C-I-R-Q-U-E.
Oh, any thoughts here, Pat?
Hardest one.
Jeez, no. I mean, cirque is in circus, is a circular kind of thing, but I have no idea.
To firm, tongue, and cirque, add moraine, M-O-R-A-I-N-E.
Oh, my first date.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to firm tongue, cirque, moraine, add crevasse.
It's landscape.
Oh, this is climbing. This is
mountaineering.
Cirque, moraine, and crevasse are all climbing things you find in mountains.
Actually, you find them in glaciers, but we'll give you the 2 points. Okay. Very good. Sure. Giving you a total this week of 77 points, and for the second week in a row, a victory. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks to our hosts, the SPNEA. The program is written by Messrs. Sherwin Salkin and engineered by the team of Fallon and Moore. The bathroom door needs oiling, but we already knew that. We leave you this week. Oh, there was passed a note by Michael Jansen in our audience who reminds everyone there will be a meeting of the Psychic Society. You know when and you'll know where. See you next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippin and Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and Lexico, featuring Dictionary.com, an online dictionary, thesaurus, translator, word of the day mailing list, and language reference guide. On the web at Dictionary.com. And the Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrust.com.
Support also comes from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans. On the web at rwjf.org. And the Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.